Watch, for you know not when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. Today we light the first candle of the Advent wreath. Each candle has a meaning. This first candle is hope. Say together, we wait in hope
for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
Eternal God, as we await the coming of Christ, give us the courage to hope. Give us grace to see your plans of redemption for our part, for this community, and for the world. Through Jesus Christ, the source of our redemption and hope.
Amen.
Thank you. I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Let the treacherous be disappointed in their schemes. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you I have trusted all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Gracious and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in his way.
He guides the humble in doing right,
and teaches his way to the lowly. All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David,
and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
My Lord, what a morning.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians.
How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son." The word of the Lord. Everybody, please be seated. We are going to be doing something a little different today. We lost our preacher that was scheduled for today. I mean, we didn't lose him. I know where he is. He's just not here. Dee Taylor was going to give us our homily today, but he had to go out of town unexpectedly with Kelly. So Roberts asked me to have a conversation about Advent and what the gospel reading from Luke has to teach us about hope and waiting for the return of Christ. So we're going to do this kind of like an adult forum. A conversation means that I'm going to ask you to participate by sharing your thoughts. Today starts the season of Advent, which the church uses to get ready for Christmas. Advent is a Latin word that means arrival of a dignitary. It was used in Roman culture when a household or community were expecting a political or military leader to visit. The idea was that some preparation needed to be made ahead of the arrival, especially if it were an emperor or a general making a triumphant entry through the city gates. In the liturgical season of Advent, we are invited to prepare for the arrival of Christ as a baby and Christ as a king. Part of the mystery of Advent is wondering how a vulnerable baby can be a king. Waiting for Christ to show up is an exercise of hope. Hope works best when we remember times in the past when God did show up in our lives. So, I wonder if you can tell me about a time in which it seemed like your life was on hold, and God came in the form of a needed relief, a joy, a helping hand, an act of love, or in some other way. And you don't have to raise your hand to speak.
Thank you. I guess I felt the same way when my son had to be open heart surgery. And he was prepared, you know, not to come out of it, but he said, I still can't figure out how to take my heart out and put it over here on the counter. Work, you know, work on me and then go back to my heart. Work on that and put me back up. But God was with him. I think it made a tremendous. Got three more days, I think, before he can go back to work, and he is antsy. But God was with him all that time, and with us, we didn't see him here at that time. Now, he's always with me, right now.
Thanks, Sally. Anyone else?
I guess it's been 10 years ago now, actually. My dad had a serious heart valve problem, an AFib, and he was at his doctor and had some issues, and they sent him on to Indianapolis to the more professional, and they said, about all we can do is do open heart surgery, which he was 79 at the point, or, you know, we got this experimental pig valve that will stick in you through your artery, through your leg. And, so they did a study, and they said, well, we can do it. And they set him up for surgery. He went in the night before. They shaved him, cleaned him up, had him ready to go down, came in Tuesday morning, saying prayers to take him down to the operating room. And they were fixing to roll him out. They said, well, we've been told to hold on a minute. The assistant will be up to talk to you in a minute. And we went on. We sat there for 3 hours. And then the assistant came up and says, well, we got a problem. This is an experimental heart valve. And it's being done, a study being done worldwide. And some of the Chinese doctors
found your heart was too large for this heart valve, and so they won't do it. The doctor's been up all night trying to get enough Europeans to doctors in the study to look over it and say, no, if it's within the accepted restrictions, but he hasn't been able to get it done. So today, even though we are ready, we're not going to be able to do it, and we'll have to call you when it can be done. And then about 5 o'clock, the doctor came up and says, well, we're going to consider this congestive heart failure, so Medicare will pay for this visit, and then we'll send you home for now, and we'll see what we can do. Well, my brother was in from Texas, and I was in from Chattanooga. We were up in Indiana. And about 1 o'clock on July 4th, the doctor calls and says, well, I finally got enough people to sign off on it, so we're going to do it next Tuesday. And so they went in. They did the heart valve. There have been some wrecks around. Imagine that with July 4th holidays, making people drinking or whatever. And they didn't have much room on the heart floor. They have to stay for 4 days. But the first night, he had to lay flat for 2 hours, and then he was able to get up. And you can get up and walk, just walk down the hall. Well, he walked a half a mile. So that night they said, well, you know, we got to keep you here for another 2 days, but we've got people coming in by helicopter that need this room. And so we're going to send you up to the standard heart room, heart floor. And anyway, this valve's done great. He's now 89, walking around with this valve. When they go in and do the studies and do the ultrasounds and take video of the heart valve, that's now used as a worldwide what this heart valve can do for somebody in need of a heart valve. And so from being to where he couldn't walk from the front of the church to the back of the church, he now gets up and walks just to prove he can walk it. And he has his stroller, but you know, God answered the prayers right there. Send him home for now, bring him back with everybody's approval, and now you're the poster boy.
Good story. Thank you, Lloyd. Anyone else? All right, we'll move on then. While they were in Jerusalem looking at the temple, Jesus tells his disciple about its distraction. Jesus says that great and terrible things will happen. What he is describing is like an unraveling of everything. The temple, the city of Jerusalem, the earth itself. This unraveling will affect everyone. There will be signs, Jesus says, and he tells his disciples, that they must read the signs like they read the blooming of a fig tree to know that summer is near. I wonder if you notice signs of unraveling in the world today. And we only have a set amount of time, so.
I'll
try to keep close on the time so that we don't get carried away, because this could go on for a couple of hours. No one's going to share what they think the signs are for the unraveling of the world today, huh?
The new virus.
The virus.
The new one.
And the new one, yep, you're right. Sometimes I think this virus is never going to go away. It's always going to be with us in some form or other.
More and more homeless, lost in this world's way.
More homeless.
Churches, people aren't coming anymore or believing.
For those who might not have heard her, she said the church is getting smaller and smaller. No one's coming to church anymore.
At least in at least in the numbers that they used to.
Increased amount of violence and mass shootings that are happening all the time.
Mass violence and shootings.
Some of the reasonableness we had in the past seems to be gone. I mean, people, road rage is something we know about, but these days, the stories I hear, why are you enraged? What are you already mad about? Why are you not being reasonable? I'm seeing people not being reasonable as they have been in the past.
Crazy.
I'm sorry?
The weather.
The weather is crazy. There's a lot of signs happening now that were foretold in the Bible, but when I was growing up, the same signs were there when I was much younger. The signs are always here. So how do you determine, I wonder, when the end is near?
We know that when
he said
he'll come as a thief in the night.
I didn't quite get the last comment, but I'm thinking that it's not our job to know the end. It's how we're moving toward whatever that end is.
If we dwelt on it, we'd all go crazy, wouldn't we? Jesus tells the disciples that when these things happen, it is a moment of redemption, that they must hold their heads up in hope. Redemption is a word associated with atonement in Greek, of becoming closer to God. I wonder if we come closer to God when things are unraveled in our lives and in our world. And I certainly do. I don't know about everybody else, but when things are not going my way or when terrible things occur, I don't know how people who don't know God get through them, because that's the only way that I do. Any other comments that you'd like to share? The season of Advent is about figuring out how to trust that God will show up, even when things are falling apart. Amen.
Please stand as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In this season of Advent, we pray together for those who wait for the presence of God.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence from the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them to the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our sovereign, you are always coming into the world. Come to us now, soon, and forever. And let us receive you as the child of holiness and the wind of change. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Business from the church, so I encourage everyone to come. There will be a meal served. So, does anyone else have any announcements?
I do. Forgotten Child Fund was closed this week, but I did get a call Friday afternoon, and I will have boxes for put out here and at the St. Albans also. They are specifically looking for coats. They're store that they normally buy coats from and give them a good deal, they're stuck on a boat coming from China. So coats, any size, any age, and they're specifically in need of gifts for youth 11 to 16. They will be picking up the boxes December 15th or around that time frame. So they'll appear next week. Anybody would like to volunteer with the food pantry? It was Gene and I yesterday, and Gene's got to be off next week, so we can use all the hands we can get, and we can train you as we go.
How many people did you serve?
We did not have much of a crowd yesterday. We did a total of 5.
Okay. That's good. Beth?
The poinsettia sign-up list is on the foul-field door, so you can sign up for poinsettias for the Christmas
season. Thank you. Anyone else?
shall come when morning dawns and earth's dark night is past. Oh, haste the rising of that morn, the day that all shall last. And let the endless bliss begin by weary saints foretold, when life shall triumph over wrong and truth shall be extolled. Our glad hosannas, Prince of Peace, and what love shall
Let us pray. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, to join you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us, your humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your defense, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through the might of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hardwood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit, that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you, for the honor of your name. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him at all times and in all places may give thanks to you in all things. Amen.
Spirit.
Amen. Amen.